It's showtime, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That 590 Show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio alongside. Hope everybody's having a fantastic Friday evening. John G. Monty Rudolph behind the dials. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. You can add us on Twitter at 590 Show, at Matt underscore Berger, at Rock590, and at John Rudolph 22. Joining us at 6:20 will be Clay Byersdorfer, writer for RedBirdDaily.com. And then at 7 o'clock, as the case on every Friday night, Kevin Brackett from A Real Spoilers to tell us about the movies that will be opening up this Friday and next Friday. Because there's a good chance Kevin will not be with us next Friday because he's getting married tomorrow. So we're going to do our best to try to talk him out of it tonight. I'm kidding. Only kidding. All guests appear courtesy of...
I'll happily take the lead on that one.
Oh, Giamatti giving me the loser sound on that one. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. But joining us in studio, very happy to have the great Nick Hand, Blues beat writer for STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Nick underscore Hand. He is still celebrating after last Friday when the Blues probably had their arguably their best draft in years. They traded Yuri Laterra, which you said was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, if they just sign Joe Thornton, then you'll be the soothsayers of all soothsayers.
It's not looking good on that front right now, though.
Where do you think he's going to go? Do you think he's going to stay in San Jose, or is he going to head down south and go to Los Angeles?
So the reports are out there now that along with Patrick Marleau, they have offered Joe Thornton at least a two-year contract. With him getting the multi-year deal in San Jose, he would really like a three-year contract, but being over a 35 free agent, probably not going to happen. If Marleau re-signs in San Jose, I think Thornton follows suit, and both of those guys are back with San Jose. You never know, though. You have to be really careful with the reports that come out this late in the game. A lot of times it's agents trying to spin something one way or the other and trying to get a team to bite. The answer is going to come soon enough in just over a little over 12 hours now.
NHL free agency starts tomorrow at 11 a.m., correct?
11 a.m. St. Louis time. 11, that is correct.
11 a.m. St. Louis time. NBA free agency starts at a minute after midnight tonight. So everybody all weekend long is going to be checking their Twitter feed in between flipping
make
hamburgers.
Sure to double
and
check
stuff
that
like
Twitter
that.
Feed too.
Yeah, make sure you. Well, here's what you do: like you follow. Okay, like in the NBA, if you don't follow, if you're an NBA fan and you don't follow Woj, you're an idiot. So all you have to do is just follow Adrian Wojnarowski and put it on set the notifications to where every single time he tweets or retweets, you get the notification, then you'll be fine. And hockey, who do you recommend following?
It's Bob McKenzie.
Bob McKenzie, okay.
Bob McKenzie is considered the god. They joke that he's Don Bob sometimes as far as his knowledge of it is just insane. And you know, it's Bob McKenzie, it's Darren Drager, it's those guys with TSN who really lead the charge.
I'm reading what you wrote in STLSportsPage.com. You're saying that, okay, they're having, right now they got, the Blues have $64.2 million towards the $75 million salary cap. So they got, you know, not quite $11 million to play with. Colton Parayko, they need to sign. And it depends on what kind of contract they give him, depends on what kind of money they're going to have to play with, even if they even give him one. They may just say, you know what, screw it, we can't agree on a number, we're going to go to arbitration after the year's over.
And that's one of the things, and that's the hardest thing it is right that's going on right now for Doug Armstrong is the uncertainty of Parayko's contract. Yeah, you have a good range, but you don't quite know. And that's not a situation that's going to be resolved tomorrow. While Parayko is a restricted free agent, this is something that could drag on throughout the month of July and go to arbitration in the month of August. And the Blues and Parayko probably both want to avoid that. The question is, what's the term going to be? Because if it's a lower level deal in fewer years, you're looking at a deal that's probably what they call in the NHL a bridge deal that will take 2 or 3 years of the restricted free agency, but he will still be a restricted free agent after the deal is done. If he takes that type of deal, you're probably looking at a contract that's more in the $4 to $5 million range. If you're looking at a long-term deal, if you're looking at a 5, 6, 7 year deal with him, that's when you're looking at that $5.5 to $6 million cap hit at least.
Would you be comfortable giving him a long-term deal? Did you see enough of Colton Parayko to give him like a 5 year contract?
Colton Parayko is going to be a very solid defenseman. I have a hard time, and I'm of the philosophy, you don't give a guy a contract till he's proved it. While he is strong defensively, it still remains to be seen exactly how good he's going to be from an offensive perspective. He struggled this year offensively, and he had the issues with the sticks to start the season, and he kept breaking all the sticks and early on, and it just really hurt his groove. And with that said, even with not scoring that much on the power play and even strength on the point, he still had a 35-point campaign. But is he going to be a guy that's a 50-point guy in the NHL? If he is, and if the Blues feel like he is, you better lock him up now before he does it, because when he does, he's going to be looking at a $7 or $8 million deal.
Let's go to a week from tonight, this past Friday, a week from tonight. What did you make the moves? I mean, you had to have loved it. I mean, but the funny thing is that when I was following it on Twitter, I've never seen a GM play with the emotions of a fan base more than what Doug Armstrong did. Everybody was dancing in the streets when Laterra got shipped to Philadelphia, but when they found out that Ryan Reeves got traded, man, they were not happy.
Even when Doug Armstrong has a good night, he can't win in St. Louis right now.
Yeah, but if those guys are listening to a word being said about the fallout from the Ryan Reeves trade, then they're idiots for being angry about it, because apparently the pick they made with the first rounder, I mean, Andy Strickland was just on the hard line and said that legitimately there were teams in the top five who were still considering taking Kostin in the top five, and the Blues swung for him at 31. I don't care who they traded for it. That's an incredible swing.
Okay, I understand that Ryan Reeves is a fan favorite. I understand why the fans like him, because the tough guys are always a fan favorite. The guys on the basketball team, like, okay, it's always the goon on the hockey team. It's always the fullback on the football team. And it's always the guy on the basketball team who does all the rebounds and blocks all the shots that comes off the bench and does all the hard fouls. Those are always the fan favorites. So I can understand why the fans were upset, but it's not, nothing against Ryan Reeves, but it's not like his skill set is irreplaceable.
No, it's not irreplaceable, and it's a lot easier to find a Ryan Reeves than it is to find a true power forward in the NHL, which is the type of player that the Blues drafted for in Kostin. With that said, though, Ryan Reeves made a lot of progression in his time in St. Louis, and the fact that he was improving and became a guy who was a viable option that, you know, he could play in the postseason. He was valuable in the postseason. He did things. He improved his skating. He checked. Blues fans really took to heart what they saw and the progression that they saw of Ryan Reeves. And that was part of it. And to be honest, when most of those trades are done, the level of knowledge of the players that are coming back and what the trade was made for and the reason that it was made, they're not, you know, fans aren't processing that quick. It's just an emotional appeal. And, you know, that's the reason you see that. But the Braden Schenn deal, that is that's a significant one for the Blues from two aspects. First, the salary cap savings of, you know, you got Laterra off the books. I thought after it finished,
not necessarily savings. Essentially, you just replaced Laterra's contract with Braden Schenn's.
You did, yes. But on top of that, you know, if you were looking to try to get Laterra out and you couldn't, you know, you're trying to replace and trying to get a center. And if you couldn't get Laterra's contract out,
absolutely,
you still have that. And to be able to get Laterra out without having to retain any of the salary in the deal was the real big move on that. Because after Vegas ended with the expansion draft, I thought, yeah, Laterra could still get traded. The Blues are going to have to eat some of the salary. And they kind of did. The fact that they got the fact that they threw the draft picks in there and Philadelphia's cap situation is why they didn't have to retain the salary. But having Braden Schenn opens up some options, which we'll get into tonight, and it gives the Blues flexibility here on the free agency period.
Do you think that they have to clear something? Like, 'cause I know that Jori Laterra and Vladimir Tarasenko were really good friends. If Vladimir Tarasenko was the face of the franchise, Is that a trade that you maybe have to let? And I'm not saying you have to get his approval, but you got to let Vladdy know that he's not, so he's not blindsided by it. Hey, just so you know, we're trading Yuri Laterra.
I'm sure they did, and given Laterra's performance this past season.
Because, I don't know if you heard Ryan Reeves. Ryan Reeves had no idea the draft was going on, and then he was kind of blindsided by the trade.
Correct. Lauri Laterra, I mean, everybody had an idea with what his expectations were compared to his performance, that there was a good chance that he was on the move. I can't imagine anybody in the Blues franchise was shocked that Laterra was traded. And, you know, you make friends, but there's... That's part of the business, and everybody understands.
Remember what happened though last year though. Everybody knew that Kevin Shattenkirk, there was a good chance that he was going to get traded, and then when he got traded, what was the reaction from everybody on the Blues team? We're just stunned that we're looking over at the locker and Kevin Shattenkirk's not there anymore. And it's like, how could you guys not know that? I know this is a little off subject, but what's the name of the documentary series on Amazon Prime, the football one? I forgot what it's called, but they're doing it with the Rams. I think you can stream it.
All or Nothing.
All or Nothing. You can stream it now. And they show Jeff Fisher letting the team know that he got fired. And, I mean, I heard the audio of it. I didn't see it, but I heard the audio of it. And it is emotional. You know, he just got fired. But, I mean, he could not have been blindsided by this. How could you be blindsided? You like, okay, I've been fired before. I know, shocking to everybody out there. I have been fired before. And I had a pretty good idea of when it was coming. You know, so it's like, I don't understand how you can be that blindsided by it.
I think sometimes, though, that's a little bit of a media play. You know, who's going to say, yeah, I was really expecting to get fired today?
Not expecting it, but be like, you know what? It's unfortunate that it happens, but, you know, you just have to find a way to move on and make the best of the hand that you're dealt and blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, Jeff Fisher was in tears, and it's almost like he was giving some awful medical information to his team when he let him know, like, they fired me. Well, yeah, they fired you because you sucked. You sucked for years. How can you be surprised by that?
Oh, one of the coaches, like, it looked like he jumped back in his chair or something like that. I'm not sure who that
also
was.
Happened to be the it was John Fossil, the guy who replaced him.
Really? Which tells me that he might have known something when we're seeing him react that way, and he might just be like,
playing it up for the camera.
You gotta be kidding me. Oh my, can anybody else believe what is happening right now?
Methinks
the
lady.
Oh my god.
Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Yes. Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was a little bit too much of a reaction there from Mr. Fossil.
And when you talk about players' reactions, it's kind of the same thing. Who's going to be the guy in the locker room that is going to honestly say, yeah, you know, we've kind of known that has a chance of happening for the last 2 months. Nobody's going to do that. I mean, it is the old nuclear louche, you know, cliche time.
Yeah.
When something big happens with a franchise and you go into a locker room, you know it is cliche time for everybody involved. If there's even a chance that one thing that they say is going to get put on a tweet or misinterpreted in any way possible.
You got to play one game at a time, and with the good Lord willing, we'll help the ball club. What were some of the other cliches?
I'm just happy to be here right now, by the way, Matt.
There we go. That's the other one. Another thing that was kind of funny when people were talking about with Ryan Reeves being dealt was, okay, who's going to protect Vladdy? Who's going to protect Tarasenko when he's out there on the ice? I mean, has the NHL even really played that way anymore, where you need like a Marty McSorley kind of bodyguard type out there?
You need a guy who can play. You have to have a guy who can play, who can do that role. And that is what the NHL is evolving into, is a guy who is willing to, you know, you're not going to see the guy come off the bench and grab a guy and do something stupid in the NHL anymore. But somebody like Reeves, who's out there, if somebody takes a run at a Vladimir Tarasenko and Ryan Reeves gets out there on a shift and has that guy in his target, the guy knows he's going to get hit. And that is what Pittsburgh got that deal for, is because
they needed somebody. But
Sidney Crosby has been getting beat.
He has, but Sidney Crosby's not a very big guy, though. Tarasenko's a big guy.
And to that point, Doug Armstrong made a comment today where he said, Tarasenko's 240 pounds. He doesn't need anybody playing with him. And apparently, Tarasenko also, while apparently this is mainly for fitness, one of Tarasenko's fitness workouts for this offseason is boxing.
And Terrence, I like it. Hey,
not saying it means he's going to drop gloves,
Tarasenko has dropped the gloves a couple of times. It was the famous game where he scored his hat trick against Nashville a couple of years ago. And in the third period of that game, I forget who the player in the forward was for Nashville, but he started going at it with Tarasenko, and Tarasenko dropped the gloves. It's not something that the Blues want to see him do, but it's nice to be able to know that he's willing to do that. The thing is, the Blues have team toughness in that lineup. You know, nobody, Joel Edmondson is slowly developing that role. You have a guy like Robert Bortuzzo who's in that role. You have some guys up front who need be will drop the gloves, and you know that's something that we're seeing. Tell you what, one thing that I don't think a lot of people, if you haven't watched a lot of Philadelphia Flyers game and you haven't watched a lot of Braden Chen, that is a guy who can drop the gloves, and
yeah,
he will.
I saw a picture. It's him and TJ Oshie going at it.
And you know he'll fight the guys who he would probably be considered around a lightweight, but he isn't afraid to jump up a class if need to. And if somebody would mess with Tarasenko, especially early on in the season, it would not shock me at all to see somebody like Chen jump in there and show, hey, you know what? This is part of the reason why I'm here on top of my offensive ability.
I'm looking at this list of free agents that'll be available tomorrow mid morning, and I'm trying to remember what year it is. It's Joe Thornton, Patrick Sharp, Jaromir Jagr, Jerome Iginla. I'm like,
if it was 2009, this would be the free agency of all free agents.
I'm like, what year is this? Is it 2003? I'm like, I'm surprised some of these guys are still playing. And they're saying Jaromir Jagr, he's not even getting like his phone. No one's even calling him. Like, no one wants him.
He sent that tweet out. The one thing about Jaromir Jagr is he has a very dry sense of humor and very tongue-in-cheek. So by no means do I think that Jaromir Jagr is gone without getting some calls and interest from NHL teams. It is quite funny to say that, though, and he has fun with it, and that's, you know, that's one of the great things. All those guys on the 35-year-old or older contracts, including the Thornton, although it looks like Thornton and Marleau are looking at a two-year deal, which takes us away. You can do incentive-based contracts for players over 35. The risk is if you do anything more than a one-year deal with a player who's 35 or older at the time of the contract starting, that is, if he retires on that, you have that on your cap. There's no way to get out of it.
Rocky, I'll have to have you Google this for the commercial break. I want to say Jaromir Jagr. There was some woman who was trying to extort him was some kind of sex scandal.
Yeah, I remember that.
Jaromir Jagr was like, go ahead and release the tape.
Yeah.
Like,
she posted an Instagram photo of him.
What are you going to embarrass me of?
The interesting, the real interesting story about that is the lady who tried to extort him had a boyfriend who also played, I believe, professional in the Czech Republic, and that guy's idol was Jaromir Jagr.
Well, that doesn't work out well. Is there anything to Cam Jansen had a big tirade the other day when somebody asked him about Jaromir Jagr signing with the Blues, because he talked about how Jagr's style right now would just completely just screw with the Blues' entire offensive scheme, because Jagr takes 4 minutes. He'll take a four-minute shift, and then, thank you very much, he'll take a four-minute shift, and then, but also when he's out there during that four-minute shift, he's a very slow, methodical kind of player. So is there anything not just to the Blues not being interested in because
of
that?
Well, yeah, he's 45. But, he's going to be slow.
Obviously, but is there something maybe that the entirety of the NHL is saying, listen, you got numbers last year, but we can't have you come in here and screwing with our offensive chemistry?
It's becoming more and more of a speed game.
Yep.
And that's one of the things that's working against Jagr. You know, if you give him a one-year deal, I don't think the Blues have much interest in him. But there would probably be a team out there. I mean, he loves Vegas. That might be an option,
honestly,
too.
I'm surprised they haven't picked him up, because he's a name. Everybody knows who Jaromir Jagr is because he's been playing for 30 years. He's a draw. People are wanting going to see him, you know, hey, come out. It's someone you can market around because he's a name. Is he going to be the best player on the team? Probably not. And if he is, you're in big trouble. So I can see why the Vegas Golden Knights would want to pick him up, because, you know, just as a marketing ploy, I would totally get that if they did. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Clay Beiersdorfer from RedbirdDaily.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.